Morning all, Monday, November 29, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning, hope you had a fantastic weekend and, well, a lot of good news coming in here this Monday morning because the multi won, Elle Daly on an absolute roll. And what about yesterday? George Kambosos, ferocious, over in the United States at Madison Square Garden in New York, has become Australia's first unified world champion since Kostyuzu. With that split decision, lightweight win over Teofimo Lopez. And, well, Lopez blew up after the fight. Kambosos called him delusional, but saluting Kambosos. What a performance. Clarkie, morning to you, mate.
Morning, boys.
We've also got a 47th Australian test captain as well since we're on air last Friday.
Yeah, big weekend. A sport, no doubt about it. Morning to our listeners. Yeah, what a fight. Unbelievable. I think he said before the fight, if he wins, it'll be Australia's greatest upset of all time. Unbelievable, so tough, so much support for him as well after the fight from, you know, not his home crowd. So, yeah, amazing achievement. Lots of Aussies that know him, that have followed him, very proud. In the cricket world, well, no real surprises with Pat Cummins getting the opportunity. I think it's been spoken about for a long time, and I think it was really the only way Cricket Australia could go. I think the one surprise was Smitty getting the vice captaincy. But good luck to both of them. I think they will work well together. Two New South Welshmen that know each other very well. It sounds like Paddy Cummins certainly pushed for Steve Smith to be his VC. Now that combination working together is going to be really important. So wish them all the best. Wish the Aussies, now that they've got a captain and vice captain, all the best for what's going to be a massive summer of cricket.
Well done, Lozza. Morning to you, mate. You're on fire.
Ah, just two of the last three. That's all. Had a bit of success on the weekend. No, well done to everyone that got on board. Hopefully you saluted on Saturday and celebrated. I certainly did. I went away on the weekend. I went down the south coast. I've got to say, coming home yesterday, what a pain in the bum it was.
Is the traffic horrendous?
Oh, yeah.
What usually takes it 2.5 hours, took 4 hours yesterday.
Yeah, rain doesn't help either, does it?
I just
rain seems
believe.
To slow everything down.
I just couldn't believe the amount of traffic on the highway and how it all just slows down at certain points. And then I was coming from the south coast, so I went to Culburra, so just past an hour. Usually takes about 2.5, a bit over 2.5 hours. It took 4 hours getting home.
Yeah, no thanks.
Ooh, just sitting in traffic.
When you're not moving, Kay.
Yes, it's not moving. You're just moving. I'll tell you what I did see while I was in the traffic. An air show with planes.
I don't know what entertainment for you?
No, I had a lot of entertainment.
Maybe it was set up for the traffic.
It was unbelievable. So all these planes flying around.
There you go.
Plenty of people stopping and watching. But the races on Saturday, they did a great job at Rose Hill, given the track conditions, given the amount of rain that we had. Yeah, looking forward to the big week. I don't think there was any surprises in the cricket. I think that Pat Cummins was always going to get the nod as Australian cricket captain, given what's happened to our last couple of captains, Tim Payne and Steve Smith. Big surprise, though, I suppose, Steve Smith, vice captain. I don't know whether. I think it was either give him the captaincy or leave him out of it. But I wish them all the best. I hope it works. I'm really hoping that Paddy Cummins works. I just got my doubts, though. And I haven't got my doubts for this test series because I think he'd be all excited. But it's that, you know, that factor where you're just playing in test series and, you know, you're all travelling around the world all the time, and as a fast bowler, you're going to have periods where it's not working for you, and you just think that that load at some point in time may wear him down and affect his bowling. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, the thing that unfortunately for him he won't get away with is the tactics around the game. So commentators, past players like me, like you do, that's how you judge a captain. So we'll be watching, and the disadvantage for Paddy is going to be, let's say he's bowling at the same time Nathan Lyon is. Particularly with your spinners or your slow bowlers, that's where your tactics are very important. What field you set, what changes you make, when to go aggressive, when to pull back. If he's bowling up the other end, a 10, 12 over spell, he'll be fatigued because, again, you've got a spinner bowling. So the spinner's over goes quick. You're trying to get air in. Yet that's where you're judged harshest as a captain, your tactics. So while we all look from afar and just go on what's happening at Nathan Lyon's end, there's Paddy going to have to be captain. be switched on with his tactics, but he's also trying to get air in to be able to bowl his next over. So I think that's the physical time that, and imagine that in India, for example.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to be really hard, but maybe that's why he's pushed hard for Smitty. Maybe that's why he's like, you know what, Smitty, for the next, while I'm bowling, I'm going to bowl a six over spell here. For the next six overs, it's you. You take over the captaincy.
Do people need to drop off Steve Smith? Because I hear a lot of commentary around Steve Smith saying, oh, he's got to be careful of not giving too much information. But if Pat Cummins wants him to
that's
give
correct.
All that information.
But I think that's the important part. So what happened, the reason that, and I was one of them that said, what happened when Tim Payne took over the captaincy? Steve Smith was our ex-captain in the team fielding at slip. Tim Payne would set the field, and then Steve Smith would be moving the fielders around, like come a bit more this way or a bit more that way. You can't do that. That's not your role. Mm. If it's handed over to you, if Pat Cummins does exactly like I say, Smitty, I need your help, go for it, then play on.
Yeah.
He's been asked to do that. You just got to be very careful not to be doing that when it's not your place. Mm. But again, it seems to me there's going to be times Paddy is going to need... Yeah. Steve Smith to do that. And he's good at it. Smitty's pretty good with his tactics.
And that's where people need to be careful because they'll be getting into Steve Smith, but it won't be Steve Smith's fault.
That's exactly right. He'll just be doing what his captain's asked. Yeah. I agree.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. The other bombshell, I guess in hindsight, not that much of a bombshell that emerged after we got off air on Friday, was Tim Payne taking a break from the game for the, quote, foreseeable future.
Poor thing.
So, you can only imagine what's going on there. In his personal life. Yeah. So, yeah, let's face it. Life's more important than sport, pup.
Oh, it is, Mido. And I feel for Payne. Like, I hope a lot of Australia does. You know, no one's sitting here saying, and again, we're talking about a moral issue, right? So nobody's sitting here saying, okay, you know, what Payne did is play on and we should feel sorry for him. No, he's done a crime, but he's put his hand up as well. You know, he came out 4 years ago and took the hit. Fronted Cricket Tasmania, fronted Cricket Australia. I think, there was a conversation with the third person. I can only imagine the conversations that have gone down with his wife. So he's been through it. He went through it personally 4 years ago. Now the poor bloke had to go through it again publicly. And he's lost his dream job. He's had to stand down from the Australian captaincy. And now he's not in a state to even walk back out onto a cricket field, you know? So I do. I really feel for him. And I think we, public, everyone, need to give him this privacy and show some empathy here.
So that means the keeper position in the Australian side up for grabs for the first test starting, what, Thursday week, December 8th?
No-brainer. It's a no-brainer. And the dude just made 100. Talk about under pressure. Alex Carey walks out under the most amount of pressure. Everyone fighting for a job. People questioning, is he next in line? And he makes 100. Come on. This guy is ready.
Yeah, you've been adamant. It just seems that it's not clear cut from the selector's standpoint, that Josh Inglis has significant support.
I don't know Josh Inglis at all. I've seen him play a handful of short form games, and he looks like he's very talented. He's got all the shots in the world, and yeah, he might have a bright. I think he's only 25 years of age, so he might have a bright future. But right now, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm with Pup. Carey for mine, Loz. What do you reckon? Or do you go the next captain?
No.
The potential, I guess.
No, Carey. He's been the next man waiting. He needs an opportunity. He's done nothing wrong.
He's done everything right. That's what he's done.
By all reports, a wonderful team man. Very good with the gloves. He's a good batsman. He's been identified over the last couple of years as the man to replace Tim Payne. He's done nothing wrong. So I think you give him first crack.
I am the greatest. Sydney's new world champion. All hail King George. George Kambosos Jr. on the back page of the Daily Telegraph after his victory yesterday. I'm the Emperor. Kambosos in New York boil over in the Sydney Morning Herald. Great to see, and so much love here on the heroes and villains on the text line. Keep them coming. Today we're giving away a Sticky Wings pack as well as the $100 gift card. So there you go. Some nice little prizes there heading into Christmas. Hero, George Ferocious Kambosos. What an absolute weapon. Villain, his peanut of an opponent, carrying on like a sore loser. Cheers, boys, from Boom Boom. Here we go, heroes and villains. I have two this week. Number one, George Kambosos Jr. Wow, what an effort. Number two, L. Daly for another multi-masterclass. Villain has to be Lopez for being a typical American sore loser. Backed them both and had a big weekend on the punt. Bring on Mudgee on Friday. Webby at Erskine Park. Plenty more as well. But gosh, this goes up there in Australian boxing history. It was debated last week where it would sit if he did pull off this upset. But mentioned along the same lines of Jeff Harding, you mentioned, Loz, back in 1989, and Kostyuzu for some of his exploits overseas as well. Jeff Horn beating Manny Pacquiao. And of course, Kambosos used to spar with Pacquiao. Did 1,000 rounds in sparring with him, and well, the plaudits came for him from all across the globe yesterday.
I think the biggest surprise, other than Kambosos winning, Mido, was the fact that the referees gave it a split decision, because all reports were that Kambosos was the best fighter on the night and won, rather than it being a split decision. But it's an unbelievable performance from him. He was certainly the underdog going there and fighting Lopez. But I heard Lopez after the fight, like, he was talking as though he won the fight.
No,
he didn't win from the highlights and from all the reports that I'd seen. I didn't get an opportunity to watch it, but I have seen the highlights, and I've read all the commentary surrounding the fight, and he just was so good, Kambosos. He knocked Lopez down in the first round. Then was knocked down himself. Both were bloodied and both were battered. But Lopez, it was just a wonderful performance. And you could quite say, easily say, that it's one of the greatest sporting upsets we've ever seen here in Australia, and in particular in boxing, because he now is the lightweight champion of, what, 4 divisions? Mm. And not many people gave him a chance, other than his own camp, and there was probably people inside that camp that didn't genuinely believe that he could win. They were hoping more than belief, but he got the job done, and he's now hoping. He said that he'd give him a rematch if he wanted to, Lopez, here in Australia in front of 80,000 people. I reckon he'd get 80,000.
Mm. Talk about putting your name on the map. Oh, it's Australian boxing flying at the moment with what? Tim Zhu and now Kambosos. Yeah. Well, hopefully Tim Zhu celebrating a title next year.
Well, that's fingers crossed, but with Georgie Kambosos, it was just a remarkable performance. You know, former young Cronulla player, rugby league player, had to choose between rugby league and fighting. He took up the boxing game, and now he's a lightweight champion. So well done to him.
Also on the back page of the Telegraph, Cheese's Chook Fantasy. So Brandon Smith, now reports are suggesting that it's the Roosters who are leading the race here, on the verge of signing Brandon Smith from the Melbourne Storm for 2023. He was reportedly blown away by how they sold the club to him, Brandon Smith. Interesting comments too. He's gone and appeared on a podcast, which is done by Isaac John, former player. YKTR is the podcast. And amazing some of his comments. I want to win a premiership in that jersey, he said at one stage. He says he's made his decision, and just how emotional, like he said, he got goosebumps watching some of the presentations he was getting from Roosters players, looking up at a Roosters jersey. I mean, yeah, that's a big giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was shocked with some of those comments, because you still got 12 months to go for the Melbourne Storm. And even if you felt like that, I don't think I'd be encouraging Brendan Smith to be saying that, because you've got to go back to Melbourne. You've got to tell the team and the players where you're going at the end of next season, but you've also got a competition to win next year, and to be talking about another club in that fashion, I think you keep those thoughts to yourself rather than coming out and telling the world. And he probably didn't realise the amount of traction that he was going to get by just talking on a mate's podcast, but it is back page, and it'll be something that he'll have to deal with between now and the next 12 months, because people will be looking at him and seeing whether he's got the same commitment to the Melbourne Storm. I'm sure he will be, because that's the way that he plays. But if you had a moment, you would have grabbed Brendan Smith and said, mate, you know what? You don't need to say those comments. Just keep everything to yourself.
It's going to be interesting when he goes back to Melbourne Storm training and sees Craig Bellamy.
I say the same thing all the time. We feel like you have to tell the world everything you feel, or you have to post it on social media. You're allowed to feel certain things and not say it out loud. Or you're allowed to feel certain things and not press post on your Instagram page. Why does he even go there? It just makes... He can feel exactly what he feels. Go and tell your family that. Go and tell your close... You can't say that out loud when you're still playing at another club.
Yeah, it doesn't sit well, and it won't sit well with the supporters of Melbourne Storm. Hearing another guy talking about
Melbourne
clubs
play
colours.
The Roosters this year, how's that going to go down? You may as well go sit on the bench. Yeah. Go sit there with a Roosters jersey on. You just told us how much you want to play for him.
Yeah, when you're professing your love for another
mate.
Club. And you've still got 12 months to go on the club that you're playing with. Yeah, it's not a good look. It'd be like someone in, I don't know, say Junior Paulo. He's off contract. You know, playing for Parramatta. Signs with Canterbury tomorrow and comes out and says, oh, I want to win a premiership
it's
for Canterbury.
It's been my dream to play with the Bulldogs.
Oh, you just don't go there. You say that when you start pre-season training.
Walk around the jersey in your back pocket. You go to Melbourne training, but carry a Roosters jersey.
Yeah, the blow-up would be massive if it was a player from Sydney doing it.
Oh.
More so than Melbourne, let me tell you.
Yeah, wow. Especially after what we saw with Billy Kickow in the Bulldogs colours there the other week as well. Maybe just stay away talking about winning premierships for the club that you're not with yet.
Yeah.
The other thing as well, it shows like we talk about, you know, that playing for your jersey. And everyone talk like how loyal you are to your club and I want to be a one club player. And then you see things like this. I'm like, mate, everyone abuses the club. We can't fit in the salary cap, sack you go to another club. Like what happened with Adam Reynolds. I'm like, man, he's a Rabbitoh through and through. Like, Sash, you got to keep him, find a way to keep him, blah, blah, blah. If players are like this, there's no loyalty at all to the club.
You imagine if Adam Reynolds said that.
Oh, no.
Oh. When he signed with the Broncos.
Oh, he would have been booted every South game this year.
They would have been into him. Mm. Can't wait to get up there to the Broncos, win a premiership with them.
Mm.
You know?
No way.
Now, just on the Roosters, though, if Brandon Smith goes there, well, Sam Verrills is under contract there for 3 years, and Brandon Smith's been unequivocal. He wants to be starting number 9. So, is he, like, how does that work?
Well, it works.
Verrills plays 9, he plays back row.
Well, Verrills either plays
14. Yeah.
Or if he's not happy there, he looks for another club.
He goes to Melbourne.
Yeah. But he'll have no shortages of options, Sam Verrills. He's a very good player.
Yeah.
And you're not going to pay him the same amount of money as you would a Brandon Smith. Mm. So you're going to pick up a very, very good player. Mm. You know, he might even be an opportunity at Parramatta. Losing Reed Marnie. You never know. And then you're picking up a premiership hooker.
Well, on this podcast, Brandon Smith's also said that just in the last couple of days, he's received even more offers coming from the likes of Parramatta's. Of course, they're looking to replace Reed Marnie now, etc. As well as, Penrith as well, the Titans. So he's got no shortage of offers. Beautiful place to be in demand, isn't it?
Oh, he's a wonderful player, Brendan Smith. He's a wonderful player and very talented and very hard. You know, I love the way that he goes about it. He was always going to have options. He was always going to have the chance to go to the club that he wants to go to because every club would have been interested. Melbourne certainly can't match the money, I'm assuming, that other clubs are prepared to pay Brandon Smith. They've just got to rely on, you know, that one last presentation from great Craig Bellamy trying to keep him down there in Melbourne. But I think he's made it very clear in that podcast where he wants to go. He wants to go to the Roosters. He wants to be coached by Trent Robinson. He wants to be in and around the Sydney circuit. The Roosters, you know, they're always going to be a very good side. They're always going to be up there challenging for finals. And he said it. He wants to win a premiership with them. So we'll see how he goes.
Great point on the text line here as well. Roosters also have Connor Watson, fellas. Well, when you talk Watson, Radley, he said he wants to be starting number 9. So that means what? He comes in, Sam Verrill's out the door. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see how it all plays out. Now, heroes and villains this Monday morning. Give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272, as I mentioned. You get your $100 gift card for the best contribution this morning. We're going to throw in a Sticky Wings pack as well. And how good were those sliders on Friday morning, Loz?
They were very good, Ben. I was lucky I only had one.
Yeah.
But the ribs were perfect.
Oh, you had...
I went back for the ribs.
Relented on the ribs.
Yeah.
But, the slider was good.
No,
you missed out.
Very good.
Sultana brand, which was average at best.
Has it ever been good? Will it ever be good?
Still dry.